The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're joining We the People Radio. With Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And our engineer.
Bob Martin.
We make him talk for himself. We make him speak occasionally. Oh my gosh. Well, then...
Greetings, Aaron and Bill.
Another action-packed week.
Did you go to the rodeo, Bob?
I did not.
The big question is, did you stay long enough for the monsoon at whatever that was, 12:30 or 1 o'clock this morning? It's like, what is that?
Were you out there at 12:30?
No, but I could hear it. It was like, what is that?
I was out. I was out on the town about, oh, hell, I didn't get home until 3 in the morning. Yeah. I'm kind of a wild guy, you know, on the weekends, it's hard to keep up with me.
Even when Bill was young, he didn't do that.
You're giving me up.
Because it just doesn't make any sense. Oh, my gosh. Well, all righty. We are swiftly calling our guest for this hour. Well, for both hours, actually, Lauren Spivak. So if you are listening to us in Philadelphia, you'll have to tune into the website, wethepeopleradio.us, in order to catch Lauren, the rest of Lauren. But anyway, he has written a new book, third book. Okay, so wait, let's start at the beginning. First book was called The New Democrat. Super funny. I should have brought them, darn it. What was I thinking? Got him on the shelf. Should have brought them so we could have flipped through them. I know. A dope. Anyway, it's a parody history on the Obama administration based on a famous children's book, needless to say, The Cat in the Hat. And they're the same size. They're little hardback books. They're great, great gifts. And the humor is perfect. Unless, of course, you're, you know, flaming liberal, in which case it would kind of make you angry. You might get one for a present.
Can you say flaming liberal?
Flaming and liberal, all in the same thing?
Yeah.
A flamer or a liberal?
Yeah.
And well, I thought flaming liberal was actually much nicer. So Lauren kind of goes by the handle of the free market warrior. He was born and raised in Massachusetts, spent most of his adult life in New York City, and becoming active in politics, he worked in several nonprofits as a management consultant for both profit and nonprofit corporations. He does a terrific economics seminar, but he has a new one. He has a new seminar out, and we'll let him... and I think I botched the title. Hey, Lauren, are you in there already?
I am here.
What is the title of the new seminar?
Well, my new one, my third one, is called The Search for Superhuman Wisdom.
And somehow on the website it became The Wisdom. I was like, wait a second, that's not the name of it.
That is the Monarch Notes version of my seminar.
I'll be fixing that right now. I was like, wait a minute, it's not called The Wisdom. That sounds like some weird cult. Although that would be a great name for a cult, you know, in case you want to start one of those.
That's if you want the Reader's Digest abridged to the seminar.
We'll just cut right to the wisdom.
Maybe it's about teeth.
It is. It's something. Hey, so give folks a thumbnail sketch on both your seminars, because they're really good. But we've only seen the economics one. We haven't seen the superhuman wisdom one.
Come to think of it, I don't think I've even done my second one with you guys,
no.
Which is called Getting There From Here. They're all really different from each other in terms of the content.
Okay, we missed that
Getting
one.
There From Here, which is officially the second seminar, is about developing a practical political strategy toward a smaller government. Because it struck me that, you know, say what you want about the Republican Party, I don't hear much of a peep out of them about how to actually make the government smaller than it is. And so that's what my entire second seminar is about. And the third one, the Search for Superhuman Wisdom, is probably the most intellectual of the three. It's about understanding the role of law and democracy and Congress and republics and how that all works together. It's understanding how you want to have a free society, where you need some law, because you can't let people just go around murdering other people, but where you want to maximize freedom. And we tackle some really interesting issues, I think, including that democracy doesn't work very well, and that there are alternatives to democracy. And when you say that to people, they think the only alternative to democracy is, you know, to have a totalitarian dictator. And I think just the opposite. There's alternatives which actually work a lot better than democracy and are a lot fairer than democracy.
Well, that's kind of fun. Now, how long is that seminar?
All my seminars are 7 hours long.
Okay.
It's a format that I've gotten very comfortable with. We usually do them in 2 3.5-hour nights.
And you pretty much travel the whole country, and you will come and do that seminar at no charge for pretty much any group that can assemble itself in one place, right?
Yep, that is pretty much the story. I've done, amongst these seminars, I've done a seminar about 300 times now. I just did my first one in Tennessee, just last night, which is the 25th state that I've done seminars in now.
No fooling. Well, it is a great format.
Maine to San Diego.
And then you're on to San Diego?
No, actually, I've done them from Maine to San Diego.
Maine to San Diego.
Entire length and breadth of the country.
Holy cow. And so we've listed your email on there. It's Lauren Spivak, Spivack, @gmail.com. And that's really an easy way for people to get a hold of you. And you always get right back to them and all that.
And I should say, I also, you know, usually, particularly with a new group, I give shorter talks on, you know, half-hour talks on an economic topic. I don't want people to think that I can't, that if I start talking, I can't stop in less than 7 hours.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I can do a short talk, too.
That's true. You do a really good warm-up talk. And then websites. Why don't we give folks that while we're on
the
web details
here? Well, the website, which is mostly about my books, which is the other half of my life, is ObamaParody.com.
Okay, and we have that linked on there as well, and it's got the first two books. But I did add the cover. I'm figuring it's the front and back cover, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and I split them so that they would be big enough that people could see the detail because they're really good. So we have The Wizard of Iz, which is the third book, and let's see. I told people the first one, The New Democrat. The second one is The Gorax. Needless to say, modeled after the Lorax.
It's about environmentalism.
And it's really good. I mean, for anybody who is even halfway plugged in on what's happening in the environmental, the extreme environmental community, this ought to make you, give you a good chuckle. So give people a little snap of, a little elevator speech on The Wizard of Iz, and then we'll do more.
Well, sure. The broader theme is what I do in my books is I try to take, important political economic ideas of our time and do them in a kind of a fun, friendly children's book form, which occasionally confuses people because they're not really children's books.
I look like children's books.
Get emails from people saying, we want to learn more about your children's books. And I don't write children's books. They just look like children's books.
But you know what?
They're aimed at adults. And what they do is they tackle political issues of our time in a way that's very fun and accessible. They're picture books. The words are in the form of poetry, like a Dr. Seuss, for example. And so I find that, in an age where people don't do a whole lot of reading, it's like a book for people who don't read. If you put it on your coffee table, everyone will pick it up and read it, even though they're not really, happy book people. And it makes a nice gift for, people who aren't big on reading books per se, but everyone enjoys this. Because it's fun and it's quick and there's just humor. Or I think someone else suggested that my books are like really long political cartoons.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good way to put it.
It's a whole story done in a cartoon-like form. So anyhow, so my first one, The New Democrat, is about Obama, and the story of the Obama year is done as a parody of The Cat in the Hat. And my second one, The Gorax, is about Al Gore and environmentalism. And it's not quite as famous, but it's a parody of Dr. Seuss's book, The Lorax, and which is his, you know, pro-environmentalist book, you know, oh my gosh, capitalism is horrible. We have to, you know, defeat all the evil business people and have the environmentalists take over. And this is a parody of that, of how out of hand environmentalism has gotten, particularly by the way, in the state of California. Whenever I explain that the Gorax in California, my joke is that the original title was going to be the state of California, because you guys are my role model for what's going wrong with environmentalism.
My new one,
The Wizard of Oz, is obviously a parody of The Wizard of Oz, and it's essentially about Hillary and the 2016 presidential election, but it's more broadly about, you know, where our country has come to at this point in time. So there's a lot of, you know, not simply, you know, a one-dimensional story about Hillary. It's kind of the whole milieu in which, you know, Hillary is running for president, where there is, you know, where no one is really very honest anymore, and everything is corrupt and manipulated and spun, and we tackle the media and the academic world and just the whole, you know, the whole role of government and society. And what I decided to do was to have Dorothy be what she is in the original book, which is a, you know, teenage girl from circa 1900, and one of the twists that I made was I had the tornado blow her into modern times. So this is a kind of a time travel book, where she from 1900 finds herself in 2016 in the midst of Hillary's presidential campaign. And what she's doing is bringing her 1900 sensibilities to the world that we live in now. And yeah, how do you want me to go? You want me to kind of take this? You want me to go through plots or scenes? Or
either way, we've got to take a really quick break. And when we come back, so bottom line is you have about 2 minutes to decide, and then we'll just play along. Because honestly, you know, you're gonna have to tell us a lot of fun stuff so I can get this picture of cartoon Bill Clinton with no pants on out of my mind.
You know, Bill Clinton and his boxer shorts with hearts on them. Bill Clinton, I mean, you know, who can resist this?
Oh, my gosh.
I thought Bill Clinton made an awesome Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, he
because
would.
The original wizard in the original book, and what I always try to do in my parodies is, you know, make it very, you know, follow the narrative line of the original book as much as I can. That's what makes it funny. You recognize, you know, what the original story and how we've changed it. The original Wizard of Oz is a crook. I mean, he's a deceiver. In fact, on my quote page, I always do a quote page at the beginning. On my quote page, I have a line from Wizard of Oz where he says, "If I should go out of this palace, my people would soon discover that I am not a wizard, and then they would be vexed with me for having deceived them." And you know, that's who the Wizard of Oz is. So it struck me that Bill Clinton is very much the wizard of today. They say it's all smoke and mirrors and there's nothing real anywhere. And I like the name Wizard of Oz because when they first meet him, they say, you know, are you the Wizard of Oz? And he says, well, that all depends on your definition of Oz. So that was kind of a gimme.
That was a freebie along with the no pants. I mean, those were...
I'm intrigued.
That was just
I've
got to
get a copy of this book. I mean, the material is endless.
I got a little snapshot of it when he was up in Wairika, and I'm like, I can't wait for this book. All right, we will be right back with you. For those of you that that have computers nearby, go to wethepeopleradio.us, look at our page for today, and you will see the front and back page of The Wizard of Oz, and you'll know what we're talking about. We'll return with Lawrence Bevec in just a couple of minutes. What shall we do?
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Nice. So, the previous song, you know, what shall we do about them? Now we're going to find out. All right, we're here with Lauren Spivak, talking about his new book, The Wizard of Iz. All right, so what did you decide? Are we doing plot, characters?
You know, or I guess we might as well meander through the plot. Within the first page, Dorothy, who is essentially Dorothy, I probably did the least to her. Dorothy gets blown by the tornado out of her world of 1900. You know, when the U.S. government was not even a half of 1% of our economy. You know, where there was no IRS, there was remarkably little government interference in people's day-to-day lives, particularly at the federal level. And in fact, the opening line of the book, if I may, it's one of my favorites, is once long ago, there was no IRS, no EPA, and no HHS. How did people survive? They just managed, I guess. and then Dorothy gets blown into 2016, and her house lands on Obama, and kills him, and she finds herself in the land of the free lunchkins, who have just discovered that they've been enslaved by Obama, and, you know, by extension, the whole, you know, welfare state, and so they're the first chapter is about the welfare state, how they came to realize that when you depend on government, you know, to get you your phone, your food, your school, your everything that you want, you actually end up losing your independence. And that it's very hard to struggle your way back from there. Once you've bought into that, it's very hard to come back. And that's what the free lunchkins are dealing with.
The free lunchkins.
And yeah, well, yeah, no.
couldn't resist.
I get to make lots of puns. It's a fringe benefit of my unusual career.
Well, we were looking at the blow up at the bottom of the screen of the one page. I'm not sure where that page fits in the book, but it's the page that you sent me. And I couldn't cut it in half and blow it up like I did the cover and the front and back covers. But I did put it in a Word document so people could see it in a larger format. But Bill was looking at the... You even got in the Clinton email server with the word deleting on the screen. Is it... I mean, you didn't miss much.
Oh, there's so much on that page. I mean, you'll spend 5 minutes just looking at all the nooks and crannies and all the little things hanging on the wall. I mean, there's a ton of material just in this picture.
Yeah, Hillary.
You know, that's another thing I've tried to do in all the books is put in enough detail that you can go back and read it a couple times and pick up on things you missed the first time.
I like all the possible, you've got, oh my gosh, on here, like you've got three pictures, Hillary 1.0, Hillary 2.0, Hillary 3.0, and she moves into the Mao jacket. All the outfits. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And she doesn't, you know, and she doesn't change at all. She's just, you know.
It's just a different outfit, yeah.
Different changes are all completely superficial.
A new costume every time.
Okay, so talk about the who's the cowardly lion? Who else do we have?
Well, the cowardly lion becomes the cowardly rhino.
Yeah.
And obviously spelled without an H. And he's, you know, suspects that the Democrats are wrong. But he's too scared to do anything about it. And we're getting a little bit out of order because
oh, sorry.
When she leaves the free lunch because she wants to go back to America 1900. And that's, you know, she's like, I was happy then. I don't know what kind of craziness is going on now, but I want to get back. And they tell her, of course, the only person who could possibly get her back is the wizard who, you know, is able to do everything. And they give her this red box that belongs to the witch, and nobody knows what's inside it, but the legend is that that's where, you know, that the secret to her power is in the red box, so they give it to Dorothy, and this was kind of, I was trying to pick up on the slippers, you know, theme that's
sure.
the original one.
Right.
So anyhow, so it's this mysterious box that can't open, like one of those, you know, one of those toys where you can't figure out how to open the box, and we're not really sure what's there, except that everyone seems to value it very much. And so she heads on down the yellow brick road to find the wizard and get her problem solved. And the first person that she meets is the Scarecrow. And I was, again, I'm trying to pick up on what's originally there and then twist it in a modern way. The Scarecrow, you know, doesn't have a brain. And what I decided to make this about is education, because so my Scarecrow has 14 graduate degrees from, you know, every Ivy League institution there is, but he still doesn't know anything, because all of his degrees are in left-wing claptrap, which increasingly is what's being taught in the modern American university.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, you know, my daughter, as we speak, is in graduate school. She's pursuing a PhD in history in New York City, and I hear firsthand accounts of this every day. She's got students that she's teaching who major in poverty studies. this is like a subject of the modern American university.
That'd be real useful.
And I was like, you know what, there's the path to a bright future.
Poverty studies.
Take that piece of paper out in the workforce and see where you go.
And she had another student whose major was indigenous studies. And, you know, then you've got the more well-known, you know, gay and lesbian studies and all of this. So the problem with the Scarecrow, because when Dorothy meets the Scarecrow and he says, I don't have a brain, she says, well, why don't you go to school and improve yourself? He's like, that's the problem. I've been in graduate school for decades, and I still don't know anything, and now I'm hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And I don't, you know, I may be exaggerating ever so slightly for comic effect, but not that much.
No. Unfortunately.
No, it is a sad truth.
He wants to actually get a brain at graduate school, having failed him, and so they go off together, as I'm sure, you know, people have predicted they would, go off together. And so the third character they meet is the Tin Man, who you may recall from the original doesn't have a heart, and I decided to make this one about taxes, because this is a theme I talk about in a lot of my talks, and, you know, from different perspectives, and it's something that I care very much about, is the misunderstanding that paying taxes is actually helping the less fortunate. that is an error that I'm very strongly dedicated to correcting. So the Tin Man has been told he doesn't have a heart because he doesn't like paying taxes, and he's troubled by this and wants to figure out how he can be compassionate enough so that he'll enjoy paying taxes, you know, once he gets a heart. And then if he, of course, joins them, and then we're to where you left off, which is the Cowardly Rhino, who is, of course, terrified of them. I wanted to have each of the characters have a little prop, and the Cowardly Rhino has a white flag that that he brings with him everywhere. And it actually, you know, he's a source of a lot of humor, because, you know, it's funny. He's constantly surrendering. So anyhow, so he's scared of everybody, particularly the Democrats and particularly the media. And they say, well, you know, if you know, we can get you some courage, then you might actually be able to do something useful. So he joins the group, of course. And the first big challenge they come to on their trip is there's a stream, which is called the Main Stream, and it's where the media are. So it's
the mainstream.
There's like a mainstream media joke in here. And this is the replacement for the poppy field that's in the original book. So they've got to cross over the mainstream to get to the Emerald City, and it's full of all of these media outlets, like, you know, like the New York Times and the MSNBC and Newsweek and Salon.com, and all of these, you know, left-wing mainstream media players are all blasting this left-wing propaganda at them. You know that there's no such thing as an IRS scandal, and Obamacare is doing a great job, and there's no inflation, the economy's fine, and Obama commands the respect of all the world leaders, and all of this nonsense, and they're all kind of intimidated by this media blasting at them, and of course the most of all is the cowardly rhino who just absolutely faints from fright in the middle of the stream. And so they have to drag him out to save him. And then they get to the Emerald City, and I may even take a second at this point to mention, I don't know if you guys even know this, but a lot of people, there's a whole school of thought that considers the original Wizard of Oz book by Frank L. Baum to be a political allegory of his time. I don't know if you ever run into this.
Oh yeah.
Okay, that the Emerald City was originally intended to be Washington, D.C., and that the Yellow Brick Road was about gold, and the slippers, which, you know, in the movie, the slippers are ruby, but that's because it was a color movie and they were playing around with colors. In the book, the slippers are silver, and it's about, the disagreement about U.S. monetary policy over gold and silver. So in some ways, you know, I had a kind of an allegory made to order here. But when they get to Washington, it's piled high with money. And I was trying to illustrate the fact that the only real boom town in America these days, you know, there was a time when, you know, Detroit was the big booming city in America because the auto industry was really taking off, you know, and it was, you know, at various times, various cities have had booms, and the boom today is in Washington because the way you make money is you get into Washington, which is where all the money goes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much the only metropolitan area in the country where the economy is actually improving, where, you know, people are rich and there's money everywhere.
Lots of jobs.
Prices are going up. So I wanted to point that out. So we get to this city that's piled with money, and they want to see the wizard it is, and are directed to his palace, which is essentially the White House.
In his palace,
and they get inside, and what they find instead of this luxurious palace is this control room that, you know, with computers everywhere. I was trying to make it look kind of like an air traffic controller, you know, center, where they've got the NSA listening to your phone calls, and they've got the internet over here, and they've got the Federal Reserve printing money over there, and the news media, and the welfare, and the food stamps, and it's like it's all being centrally controlled. And back in the distance, they see something behind a curtain, and of course, you know, it's the lizard. And I'll mention, I have a running theme about Bill Clinton's proclivities here, and there's always like a woman somewhere nearby. But having said that, let me say we do this very tastefully. Okay,
I can see where that could go sideways pretty easily. You could.
I try to write my books so they're very family friendly. So there's nothing obscene, and you could read this to your, you know, 8 year old, and your 8 year old probably would never even pick up on what I'm joking about here.
That's
so it's
true.
Done very subtly and very tastefully.
All right, we need to take a really quick break, but when we when we come back, I almost forgot. Back on the Gorax, right? Isn't that the one where Salon.com gave you a review?
That was actually Salon.com reviewed the first one, the New Demographics.
Oh, it was the first one. All right, when we come back, we need to hear the review because it's super funny. Actually, okay. In later editions, he put it right on the book. If I would have brought my copy, I could have read it to you. You're listening to We the People Radio. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We have tons of information about our guest today, Lauren Spivak, and all of his books. We will be back talking about The Wizard of Iz in just a couple of minutes.
Sometimes late when things are real and people share the gift of gab between themselves. Perfect prize that waits among the shelves. But Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was a reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad.
Road. Welcome back. You're listening to We the People Radio with Lauren Spivak, author of The Wizard of Iz, which would be our Oz-themed music today.
You know, yeah, I was going to congratulate you on the bump tunes.
Yeah, Bob's the master there.
I got a question for you. How did you... I mean, you're a master at this, but how did you come up with the idea of tying this to The Wizard of Oz? Because, I mean, it's such a great fit.
Oh, my goodness.
We want to see behind the curtain.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was, you know, just one epiphany. I mean, obviously, I'm working on a series here, and I already have, you know, I have two more ideas that are, you know, slowly moving from the back burner to the front burner about additional books I want to write. One, and it's the same theme. They're all parodies of famous children's books with conservative, free market, you know, capitalist messages. And there's one I want to do about education per se. You know, we touch on education in one page of Iz, but I want to do one that's specifically about all the craziness from the teachers' unions to the political correctness on campus and the crazy majors and the crazy professors. I mean, there's just so much you could do with just the topic of education. And I want to do a book just on that. And I also have one I want to do about, more broadly about the general growth of government, how we used to have a government that did a few basic things that almost everyone could agree on, like, you know, keeping the streets safe and, you know, locking up, you know, dangerous criminals and protecting the country from foreign invasion, and how we step by step move from that to a government that's decided that every single corner of our lives has to be micromanaged for us. And so, one of those, probably the education one, is probably going to be my next book after this one gets, you know, settled in. I mean, it's done, but just, you know, I got to focus on marketing this one, and then we'll start, you know, working in earnest on the next one. But, I clearly wanted Hillary to be part of it. I wanted a female character, and there's not a whole lot of examples of that. And then, you know, it was such a, you know, when you find the right book that fits your story, it just clicks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All the craziness that you've got in the original, in the original version just works with the craziness in the world today. And as I started thinking of all the different things I wanted to do, you know, they all just found a place. It was very much, you know, the way, you know, when I was doing the original one, the New Democrat, that thing one and thing two, you know, the cat's little helpers just became Pelosi and Reed. everything just fit into place.
Oh, and I almost forgot. What's your review on the New Democrat?
Oh, well, the line that I quoted, I remember really well. The day I first saw that review, and I was eagerly reading it, And I knew, you know, from the second I started reading it, that I was looking for what line I was going to quote. And the line was that it's the most twisted piece of conservative propaganda print matter out there.
I'm thinking you hit a nerve. We had a bleeder.
The most twisted piece of conservative propaganda.
I can't wait till the review comes out.
And it was just so perfect, you know.
Oh, thank you.
This is like I couldn't have made one up, you know, better myself.
That's fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
And in fact, I sent the guy a copy of the Gorax, the guy who wrote that in Salon.com. I mailed him a free copy of the Gorax with a letter thanking him for his first review and requesting him to review the second one. And he is not obliged to me. I'm an opaque. Maybe he figured out that he's on to me.
He's like, that guy's just messing with me. Oh, my gosh. Well, wait till they get a load of the Hillary one because, I'm noticing a lot of the people that would typically be, you know, the Democrat supporters are like, yeah, but not Hillary. But, boy, you know what? There still is a group of true believers out there. And this should send them into orbit.
Well, I'll tell you, I still think it's going to be Hillary. It's between the absence of any real alternative, you know, on the Democratic side. And I'm sorry, Bernie Sanders, you know, ain't going to beat Hillary. And the fact that the Clintons have an incredible track record of being utterly immune to this stuff. One would be hard pressed to think what they would have to do to actually end their, you know, collective political career. And, you know, I can't really come up with anything would actually slow them down.
I see from this one picture you sent us with it's got a little picture of Elizabeth Warren with a knife in her back and a headdress. I'm assuming you're thinking she's probably not going to be a contender.
Knife in her back and headdress.
Well, the concept I had for Hillary is that just she's just utterly ruthless and wants what she wants, and anything that gets in the way, you know, has got to be destroyed. I'm sure you also noticed that in the background she's got kind of a dungeon where there's Ken Starr and Juanita Broderick in skeletalized form are strung up in her dungeon, and then there's a third place for Barack Obama. But he's escaped.
And you know, and I think you're
Obama. And again, you know, I try to have enough subtlety here. That, you know, I like when people come to me and say I didn't quite figure it out until the third time I read your book.
Well, I think you're really on target. If you think about it, I say you're really on target there, because when you look at the real situation, so many of these political folks are afraid of her. I mean, they're afraid of that machine turning their guns on them.
Yeah, that's what they do. They kill. You know, they go after you. They're not playing.
No.
If the Clintons are the political mafia of our day, they send out their hitmen who are playing for keeps. Well, so my idea was that Obama was like the one person who defeated them. In fact, at one point, Hillary describes Obama as that slick jerk who robbed me of my birthright.
Yeah. Well, you look at the I don't know if you've watched the program House of Cards. I don't think there's any doubt of who they're portraying in that program.
Sure. Or there was a movie that came out in the Clinton era, too, Wag the Dog.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the same thing, the absolute, you know, everything is fake. Everything is fun.
It's a pageant.
You know, it's a creation. Pageant. And so I have her as a kind of a, and to me, this is what Hillary is, as a dull, unimaginative, but you know, absolutely ruthless opportunist who, you know, has only one thought, and that is, you know, how do I get where I want to go? And whatever, you know, will get me there is good, and whatever is in my way is going to get destroyed. And I also had a very perhaps unusual thought about Bill Clinton, who's the wizard, and that is I decided I wanted to have him tell the truth. And this is probably one of the more weirder, risk-taking things that I did in the story. But Bill Clinton, always tells the truth. I wanted him to just blithely explain how the Clintons do what they do. And so back when they're meeting him in the palace, he explains to them, you know, how he controls the media, he explains how the purpose of the welfare state is not to improve the economy, it's to keep poor people poor. And he explains that as people get poorer and poorer, their vote for the Democrats gets surer and surer.
Wow.
I mean,
I think is probably one of the more interesting literary things I do in this book is that I make Bill Clinton the one who, you know, unselfconsciously, you know, he's not apologizing for it. He's just, you know, I just had an image that we would catch him on a day where he's like, okay, this is what we do. You know, what's your point?
Yeah.
Okay? Of course we're trying to deceive everybody. Of course we don't want the economy to improve because, you know, if people became, you know, better off, they wouldn't need the Democrats anymore.
That's right. Dependence.
He literally is the Wizard of Iz because they look at the world in a completely different way and they manipulate the heck out of it. We need to take one last really quick break. We'll be back with Lawrence Vivek. We are going to have him on here the second hour. So if you're listening to us in Philadelphia, please jump online, wethepeopleradio.us, and listen to the second half. Be right back. Really good ones. Don't Mess with Bill and The Wicked Witch is Dead. And that Don't Mess with Bill was from where? The 50s? 60s?
Marvelettes, Motown, 60s.
God. All right,
yeah,
Lauren.
It's early 60s. I remember it.
Gosh. Geez, Lauren, if you could put a soundtrack on your book, I think we've got it for you. I think we have it handled.
I think you've certainly made the right selections.
I think Bob's the master yet again. So let's see. Let's recap for folks before the end of the hour. Why don't you do that, Lauren? Since they're your books, tell them how to get them and all that good stuff.
Well, you want me to talk more about the plot line or about how to get the book?
Let's do plot line next hour. But for the folks in Philadelphia that only get an hour of the program, well, let's give them all the details.
At this point, my website is ObamaParody.com. At this point, I only have the first two books. So they're the only ones I physically have. I will have The Wizard of Oz in a couple weeks. And what I would suggest, for everybody, is to just email me. And I think my email, which is my name, Lauren Spivak, LaurenSpivak@gmail.com. They're a little bit more expensive on the website. I could probably get people a better deal. And moreover, if people are interested in pre-ordering, the Wizard of Iz, you know, I can take care of that. And then as soon as they come in, you know, we'll get you your copy.
Well, we bought a ton of those first books, and they went so fast that everybody we gave them to just loved them. I mean, they wanted to know where to get more.
And the other thing is you have them when you come and do the seminars or when you just come to speak.
I bring them with me everywhere.
Yeah, so if you have a group of folks in your area that would like to get together and have Lauren either come and just speak to your group or come and do actually the two-night seminar, also email him and get on his schedule because he's driving all over the country all the time. All right. Sorry, we got all our brakes jammed up there at the end, but we are going to come back with Lauren in the second hour here, talk more about the plot line and the characters, and I'm sure we'll have more fun music. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be right back with you.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 of We the People on KCNR's Shasta Redding.